Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Oh, it's a beautiful day, and wow, I think all the South Africans are bringing all the good weather. What do you think? It's a lovely day. Yeah. I'm just going to put this. All right. It's a great honor and a privilege for me to bring the word. I am quite an expressive guy, so with my fingers and stuff, I'm not angry with anybody. I just, it's the way God kind of like has made me, so I'm not going to hold back if God wants to say something or the way that he wants to express it. Am I wired in? Thank you, sir.
You'll find it a lot easier.
Thank you. Wow. Right, so what I'm going to do before I start to share what God has placed on my heart, I'm just going to track back a little bit. And we're going to look at the last couple of weeks. We're going to look at what the Lord has been. On Friday night, I listened to the last three sermons, and basically to find out where the connection between them was, and what God was saying to us as a church. And listen, just to track back 3 weeks ago, Paul Claringbold preached, and you remember the picture of Oliver Twist up and with his bowl out, saying, you know, please more. And he stated that we are like that sometimes. We're standing there, we're saying, God, we want more of you, more of you, more of you. And it is so. A lot of the times, a few times, I think when people are desperate, I get a chance to lead worship. And that Sunday that you're kind of like, you're coming before God and you're saying, God, what do we do? What do we do to get you involved? What do we do to kind of like reach down here and just totally turn us totally around, that when we leave here, we're totally different people. And you're kind of like, oh God, what do we need to do? Give people time enough to repent. And you're kind of like, we're in that place where we're going, more God, more of you. And Paul Claringbold said, when he preached, he said, it's not wrong for us to want more of God. And he was telling us about Jackie Pullinger, that at one of the conferences that she was at, and it was encouraged for the people to ask God for more. And as they were worshiping, they were saying, more God, we want more of you, more of you. And she was getting very restless, and she made her way up onto the stage, and she eventually spoke to the people, and she said, I think you got it wrong. God has given us the fullness in him. When you come to Christ and are born again, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You've got everything. It's not the cross and. The cross and. Everything has been paid for upon that cross through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you want more of God, you need to see where he's busy and you need to get involved. And there was a challenge to us as a church of, you need to step up, step out, step in. And the next service, the next week, Tim preached. And that was exactly, he was sharing with us about the lady with the bleeding. And he gave us a couple of issues of what can hold us back. Why are we not stepping up? Why are we not stepping out? And why are we not stepping in? And some of the things that were covered was failures of the past, being injured in other churches, afraid to step out, lack of confidence, laziness. All these things that are reasons for us to be afraid, because there's always a risk, isn't there? There's always a risk we'll make a fool of ourselves. There's always a risk that people won't understand where we're coming from. One of the things he said was, we need to ask what God is asking of us. And we need to step up, step out, and step in to what he has for us. Paul last week preached on the fact that sometimes, yes, we all come under demonic attack, and a lot of the times that it takes on a human face. And sometimes even the people that are closest to us, our family members, when they find out what is God's perfect will in our life, they won't like it. And we've got to be used to coming to the point of being in a place of sometimes confrontation. One of the things that Tim spoke about, he said, we've got to find out what God wants for us. And as a church, it's very important. Paul in the scriptures speaks about, we need to keep on judging ourselves. We need to assess where we're at. We need to be looking at what is our perspective, what is our goal, where we're at. And so today when I was sharing, I've had this on my heart for about 6 months, but Michael, can you put that first slide on? This is the scripture. If you've got your Bibles, you can please join with me. But it is on the screen. I don't know how clear you can see it. It's quite light. Jesus was crucified. 3 days later, he's risen. And he's showing himself to his disciples. And he spends quite a bit of time with them. He's helping them over their doubts and their issues. And he gives them this instruction before he goes. It's like, if you think of the best war saga, before going into battle or war, what do you say to your men? How do you encourage them? You think of pictures like Braveheart, where they say, today, even though you die with honor, you know, fight with everything you've got. And Jesus' instructions to his disciples are the following. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end. Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. This will always be the pivotal point. This will always be the center point for us as believers. Now, there were many people that were following Christ. There were people that got around him. They wanted to know about him. They wanted, because he was doing amazing things. But there were those, there were the group, there were disciples. And this is where you've got to ask yourself the question, today, are you a follower of Christ? Are you a disciple of Christ? Disciple means to follow. A Christian is Christ-like. We become like Christ. God has called us. This is the Great Commission. This is the center point. So whether we build a new building, it's about the Great Commission. Whether we preach or whether we play guitar, whether we sing, it's about the Great Commission. It's about how we make disciples of all nations. How we engage with people. How do we get people to know about the gospel, to receive this great news that Jesus Christ has given. A good number of months ago, Will, one of the chaps that comes to the church, who is been working at G's Marketing, a company, agricultural firm that is in this area. In season time, there are a tremendous amount of people from Romania, Poland, that are coming, Bulgaria, to come and work here for a specific period of time. And Will and Martin got together, and you know, Martin's heart is, yes, and we're going to go for it. And basically, Will organized for us a great conference room. It's like a training room there, massive. You can hold about 150, 200 people there. And he introduced it to the church, said, anybody who's involved, who's interested, please come forward. Sorry, guys, I suffer with real dry throat. And so we set off to G's Marketing. G's very much is on our hearts because Lorraine and I worked there 2003 when we arrived from South Africa. That was our first work. Shifts are very long, 12 to 15 hours sometimes. Very hard conditions. People are living in maybe 6 to 8 people in a room, in a cubicle. It's very difficult living conditions. And we saw it as a great possibility to share God's word. And the first week or two we were there, Will made sure the signage was up. Everybody knew we were coming. Doors were open. The training room was unlocked. The people knew we were arriving. We arrived there, and I think the first or second week there was a couple of ladies there, and they must have expected something different, maybe a priest in garments or whatever, because they didn't come back. And the next couple of weeks, as a group, we went there faithfully, played music, you know, sang, read the word. Martin shared on it from his heart what God had placed on his heart out of the word. And then we would pray for the place. And then it came about that food, Martin and the guys and the ladies that were coming, they would bring food. And we'd start to engage with the people. Now, while we were there and it was quiet and people knew that we were going to be there, you could see people coming to the doorway and they were looking in, you know. And it was almost like an invisible barrier. They were standing there and they could hear the music. But it was almost like this fear, this afraid of, I'm not invited. I don't know if I'm welcome. And the signage was all up and everything was there. The facilities was right. Everything was there. And it was just, people didn't break through that barrier until we stepped out and we connected with them out there in their area. Started playing table tennis with them. Great. Connecting, just engaging with the guys. Speaking to them and sharing with them, giving them food. And it was amazing to see that. And while this time, I felt God was saying in my heart, it's exactly like a church. You know, we're centrally based. We're a building. We're in the high street. People are walking past every day. They don't come in. And there seems to be an invisible barrier. And it seems to be a blockage. And at that time, I was doing some research. I got a link with a group called Exponential. They're Americans and Canadians, guys like Louis Giglio. They're basically looking at evangelical ways of how the church is reaching out into the community. Because there's a drastic fall of church attendance. And what I want to share with you this morning, I want to look at our first chart. Please, Michael. Thank you for serving on your birthday, man. Awesome. We good? Okay, it's a pie chart. You can see the little pie cut on the side there. At present in England, 12% church attendance. 12%. And to qualify for that, it's once in a month that you go to the church. Okay, so though it's there, that is the position, that is the amount of people that go to church at present. While that's up, I want to read a couple of things. Now, these statistics, this pie chart is from the, just thinking of where the guys that actually put it together, the Tier Fund report from Tier Fund. But where I did research as well was from Wikipedia. You can go there yourself under church attendance. You can go have a look. And this is a couple of statements that are in there. Fathers that don't go to church, no matter how devoted the mother is, 1 out of 50 children will become a regular worshiper. If a father does go regularly, regardless of the mother, 2/3 of the children will become worshippers. A survey in the USA showed that if a child was first in the family to be born again or to come to church, 3.5% of a probability that the rest of the household would follow. If a mother was first, 17%. And if the father was first, 93%. 93%. We look at the charts, there's another one. Michael, if you can skip to the next one first. Let's just give you a basic idea of the EU church attendance. Now you might ask yourself the question, why is church attendance so important? Surely I can be a Christian and stay at home. Yeah, surely you can play football on your own. But it's not the same. You know, you can dribble a bit, oh, I'm doing so well. Goal! You need people to play with in a team. It helps you. It helps you to push you further, to know exactly where your ability is, or else in the end, in your own mind, you're thinking, well, I'm doing really well. God has called no lone rangers. He's called us to work as a team. So you can see UK, they've got a little bit higher than what the Wikipedia statement. They're saying 20%, where Wikipedia was stating 12%. The next chart, please, Michael. Now this one, when I saw this one, this was the largest issue and problem for me. When I saw this, really shook me. In the top, you can see the pie there. They're talking about regular church goers. That's you and me. We're here today, and if you come once a month, you qualify. This big portion here on the side is the non-churched. It's massive. It's 1/3 of the pie. And this side over here, where it says de-churched, this is what they say with the de-church. They say, aside from regular and fringe occasional attenders, there is also a huge number of de-churched. And this means people who have personal relationship with God that have stopped going to church due to negative experience of church. Nearly all of these de-churched people are closed to invites to the church. It's shocking. That is a third. That is, it makes up two-thirds, the non-church and the de-church people. Now, I know what you're saying. Maybe in your heart is going, we're coming to the end of days, and people, like in Timothy, speaks about people falling away from the truth. People don't want to get involved. God never says when it comes and it starts getting harder that you've got to stop reaching out. The first commission, the Great Commission, will still always be the basic central point of where we as Christians need to weigh ourselves up on. And as a church, it is the most important question we'll have to ask ourselves. Is our church those that are open for people when they come in to receive? I heard a story where two homosexual were refused entry into a church. Where do we as Christians get the right to decide who comes in and who doesn't come? We are not here. The issue is not about divorce or homosexuality or whether you got tattoos all in your face or whether you are what choice of... It is by grace that we've been saved. Doesn't mean it stops the governance of the church. Listen to me. Listen to my heart, people. I'm not saying that we need to water down the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need to water it down. We need to simplify it. And we need to allow people. God has never intended the church of the living God to be a private club. And if you start dressing the same, looking the same, speaking the same, squeaky clean, people don't feel comfortable to come in. They want to feel a real place. They want to feel that they can be themselves, even though the only time that Christian governance or management that are in position have the authority to come across your life is when you commit your life to God and they are seeing you stepping out of line, or they see that you want to be a member of a place. They're going to ask you questions. And then they go back to the Word of God, which is the governing order, and saying, well, actually, we disagree with that. Right here in this room could be people, we automatically take it or assume that everyone that comes in here are Christians. Why? Is our perspective about church, when I say to you, hey man, see you at church on Friday, what goes through your mind? Do you see High Street Church? Do you see the new building? I don't believe God has ever designed the church to be a building. The Word of God says to us that God lives in us. You are the church. Wherever you get together, that beautiful building, so beautifully structured and well put together and awesomely built, is a tool. It's a tool to be used for the Great Commission. But the responsibility lies at the end of the day is, how do people hear the good news when they're not coming into those places to hear the truth? The only example that they get is you and me out there in the marketplace. I want to just show you a picture quickly. Michael, can you pass it on? Next one. If you look at these pictures and you see, what do you see as church when I say to you again, like the question I've asked before, hey, see you on a church on Sunday. Do you see the building? Hey man, that's where we get together. That's our club. Or do you see it as community-based, there for a purpose to reach out into the community and make a difference in where we live? And this is where it begins. It starts with the perspective of where we're seeing. And this is not about the guys at Tea for Free and the evangelistic groups and saying, well, how are you going to do it, Martin? How are you going to get the people in there? If I can ask Martin or Richard, one of the guys that do Tea for Free, and I ask, how many guys have they led to the Lord there? They'll probably have the number on their hand. There's not many. Surveys are showing that people are, they're on an onslaught from media. They're getting constantly phoned and pushed into corners to make decisions. Surveys have shown that people that are pushed into corners to make quick decisions don't last. You make a quick decision because you want a quick out of hell tickets. We don't want that. We want to be looking at discipleship. That's from the beginning of the engaging, the evangelism part of engaging with people to the leading them through the Word of God to maturity where they too can go out to reach people. That's what it's about. Jesus, a lot of it, I think to myself, why don't we do this? A lot of the time, you look at the custom of Jesus. Jesus was engaging with people. Everywhere he went, he was connecting with people, no matter if it was the woman at the well, no matter if it was children. He was engaging with people all the time. His life was exposed. He was transparent. And he was accountable at all times. Because if you're living in people's faces, you're not hiding behind things, you become, they can see hypocrisy through us. And they can see, actually, yeah, we say we love the lost, but we don't really. And Jesus, the way he did it was he opened up his life and he said, look at me. You're living with me, you're sharing with me, you're eating with me. Do you see anything in me that you can spot that is wrong? But you know what? If we're going to live like that and turn the world upside down for Jesus, it means we've got to deal with our issues. And some of us don't want to deal with those things. And God has been speaking to us lately about stepping up, stepping out, stepping into what he wants for us. We're saying, God, what do you want from me? Always comes back to the Great Commission. Anything that you've got in your heart that you felt that God has placed there, put it alongside. Does it mean encourage? Is it encouraging you to the Great Commission? What are you bringing? What is God saying in your heart? Tested with those kind of grounds. Now, I've given you a lot of negative. I've given you where the church is at. I'm not here to draw pretty pictures for you. Whilst I wouldn't be a preacher, I wouldn't want to be a preacher because I'd want to tell you what you want to hear. The church is in a bad place. The way people see us is, first of all, not nice people, and we're not normal. We ain't normal. We've got to pull down, we've got to start building a church without barriers, without walls. We need to be engaging people where they're at. If you walk away with two words today, I'm going to tell you now how we're going to do this. Intentionality. We need to be intentional. Where you're at, where you're living, the friends that you mingle with, the church or the school, wherever you're at, God has strategically placed you there. Can you go to the next picture, Michael? All the men are going to wake up. This is SEALs, the Navy SEALs, Special Forces of America. All the men are waking up now. Hello. Military, yeah. These guys get dropped into enemy territory. And they have to go and they get operations they got to do. They got to go and rescue. That's what we are. God has not called us to be living aside in a community farm somewhere eating. We're not to that point. Maybe the time will come, definitely. But every week and every day that you are in the place that you're at, it is there to make a difference to the people. Intentionality in relationships. If this is the star, if this is the church attendance and people are feeling hesitant to come in here, don't invite your neighbor to come to church. Invite him to your house for supper. Have a meal with an unbeliever. Become friends with a homosexual. Now you're saying, yeah, but the Word of God says, do not be unequally yoked. I'm not saying marry him. I'm saying we need to break down the barriers that are before us. People need to see. It's so hard for people. These are the things they've got across. They've got on the media, all they hear is negative things. So you've got, so the fact that we're not normal and we're not nice, they have to pass well-documented hypocrisy of celebrity preachers. Every second you hear about people just, you know, leaving his wife, going with this one, that one. They got to choose the right denomination. There's like 15 churches on a corner. Which one do I go into? Fourthly, they have to get past our dress code. We've got a dress code, you know. What to dress? Well, I don't think we're that bad. Sometimes someone breaches that and they get these wide glares and then, you know, which is fine. I believe in governance of church. I believe it's important that we should have regulations and rules. We don't want people falling into sin. But the truth is that unless we do something, and unless our perspective of church first, of ourselves, and what God has called us into. And they're rating that every year there's less and less people coming to church. So we need to engage with people where they're at. So how do we do that? So the first word I gave you was intentionality. We've got to be getting up in the morning. God, who can I connect with? Invite them over for coffee. If you're having meals or doing things with four people a week, three of them should be unbelievers. The problem is we draw to our comfort zones. You say to me, well, comfort's not a big thing for me. I'll ask you the question, where did you sit last week? You're sitting in the same place this week? You like comfort. God is saying to us, get out of your comfort zone. Get out of your comfort zone. If things make you feel difficult or hard, step out from where you are. It's hard. I don't think if you asked any of us at G's Marketing, is it easy? It's difficult. People don't always understand you. You don't know what to say. Sometimes you're in a difficult situation. But that's where you meet God. You know, Paul C. preached and he said, that's where you find God, is when you see where he's moving, you get involved, and then God takes you and he carries you and he lifts you up from... We're all in the same boat. This today is part of my stepping up, stepping out, stepping in. And it's scary. I don't, you know, talk to my wife. She will tell you, I'm a terrible man the whole week. The thing is, I think the more we do it, the more we start to trust God that it's not in my own abilities, but God is going to do that. So how we can do that? How do we deal with it? We've read that survey about the amount of 93% if men come to the Lord, their whole families come. How do you engage with men? Are we the kind of people that at the workplace, we see the guy sitting with a pornographic magazine, we walk by and say, oh Lord, I'm so glad I'm not like him. Are we going home, we're saying, God, Lord, please have mercy. Touch his life. Turn him around. We need transformation. We don't need clubs. We don't need a private club. We need people's lives transformed. When people stand up here and they come out of the rough edges and they're standing here and they're saying, you know what Jesus did in my life? I was a drug addict and God saved my life. It just gives us hope. It gives us faith. We need to see people. Something happens to the dynamics of a church when they have to sit next to somebody they don't really like. You've got to deal with your issues. And you start to learning to love like God. And we need this, church. There's not going to be no growth. We need to get people in and not squeaky clean. You know, the problem is with the unchurched, that large gap, that large area, that large portion, one third, it's messy. We don't like messy. Church people, we don't like messy. Though we look back in our own lives, may it be 10, 20, 1 year ago, our lives were messy. Come talk to me one day, I'll tell you what God has done in my life. 20 years. Saved from drug addiction. God has saved my life. Transformation. So the thing is, the question we need to ask ourselves, we've got this beautiful tool. And it's not Martin's job, and it's not the leadership job. It's each individual person. We've seen the Great Commission means that everybody is responsible. Everybody should be engaging with the people where they're at. And letting people see in your own heart where you're at. Show God's love. Now time is quickly, so those are a couple of things. Getting involved with sports, with men. Eating, if you're a runner and you're a woman, take non-believers with you. There's no better place than be on the road and chat. I'm not saying like get around the first block and say, hey man, you need Jesus, turn or burn. There is no formula. We need the Holy Spirit to show us. Sometimes there are times where God's going to say to you, you need to speak, dude. You need to tell this person now, your love. You don't know. But most of the people, The surveys are showing people will listen to people they like. So if you've been parking your neighbor's parking for the last 3 weeks, and then you want to come and talk to him about the gospel, don't be surprised if you get wrong signage coming your way. It's about living the life of Christ. Connecting with people, watching movies with them. Engaging them, going to the pub and having a beer with someone you know. Breaching that bridge, getting that bridge across. And the day will come when a relationship has been, there's been a number of testimonies that have been given where guys that are into motorbikes and they just invite people and guys that love bikes and they talk about bikes and eventually their families become so good friends that the day when we say, come on, you know, would you like to come to church? People are like, yeah, man. If they're like you, yeah. And people get saved. There was one terrible story where a girl was serving in a restaurant and these bunch of Christians came and they left a note, no tip, a note saying, repent or burn. And she was so upset. She was in this church and she was so upset. And the truth is we know that is the way. People are saying, yeah, but the fall in church is going to be, the fall in church attendance is going to be sorted out when there's tough times. We've gone through two economical crises in Europe and people are still not being drawn to the church. People believe that church cannot change their life and knowing God cannot change their life. People living in situations, they're living in homes alone. They can do their shopping from inside. They don't even have to engage with people. We're living in a place where people are becoming more isolated and they're not feeling uncomfortable without a relationship with God. They're not getting up on Sunday going, oh, I'm feeling very bad, I'm not at church today. They're going, whoa, another day off and spend with my kids. How do we engage? We need to connect, not judge. God's going to judge them. Doesn't mean you've got to compromise on your walk with God. It takes someone like, you know, you have to be strong. Your relationship with God has to be strong because all of a sudden you're exposed to these things. And sometimes it's not always a good idea when you've just come out of drugs to go and reach drug addicts because you need time of healing. And that, you need to ask God where you're at. I want to leave you just with a challenge. I want to ask you today, and I ask myself the question, if you're here today, how many of us can put up our hands and say we've led someone to the Lord this year? Second of all, is that person with you now? Are you mentoring them? These are questions we need to ask ourselves. Are we intentional enough in engaging? It just means a change of mindset. And it means that every opportunity that comes, you know it's from God. It's reaching out. I want to close with Luke 10, verse 25. If you can go to the next one, the last one, please, Michael. This lawyer comes and he wants to justify himself. And he says, God, how do I receive eternal life? He's not the rich guy. There was another guy who did that. And he says, how do I receive eternal life? And Jesus explains to him, he says to him that this guy was traveling between Jerusalem and Jericho and he fell amongst robbers and he got beaten up. And he was left on the side of the road. All of a sudden, who came past was a priest. And he walked across on the other way. And then a Levite. Now these guys that were, the priests and the Levites were people that served in the temple. For them, their greatest aim was to, the Levites were not given inheritance when all of Judah, when all the Israel was given their portions. Their portion was to serve in the temple. And we're not here to argue and say, well, maybe he felt according to the law of Leviticus, if he touched a dead body, he wouldn't be able to serve in the temple. Jesus could have said there was a plumber walking, a builder, a carpenter. He used examples of guys that had spiritual awareness. They were guys that knew God, but in this, he was saying that their perspective had been mingled, had gotten confused. For them, being in the area and serving God in a temple And then Jesus says to him, but there was a Samaritan who came past, and he stopped and he looked at his wounds and he put him on his own donkey, took him to an inn and paid 2 denarii, was generous. And as Samaritans were looked down upon by the Jewish people, whom we love, looked down upon and said, if there's anything else that you have to pay for, I'll sort it out with you when I come by. And Jesus says, which one of these? Sorry, I didn't finish the first part when he says, how do I get eternal life? And so the Lord says to him, you're going to love the Lord your God with all your heart, strength, and you're going to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then the man asks, what does it mean? Who's my neighbor? And that's my challenge to us today, is are we going to be like the guys that are, you know, we know church and we're in this kind of like, some of us have grown up here. Some of us have been here all our lives. So we can start a church, we can grow it by having lots of kids and raising them up in the area, and they only kind of know how to get on with other kids, other Christian kids, and eventually they leave the churches because they can't actually engage with people. We want to grow the church. We've got this massive tool that God has given. That isn't the Great Commission. You are the living. You are the temple of the living God. God has called us together, but it's up for us. You know, we can be sitting in there. We've got, there's going to be a lot more space there. And I want to throw something at you, and it's a curveball. It's not what God said to me. But what if the finishing of that premises is linked to the perspective and the maturity of where this church is at? That's a question I want to throw out there for you. And the challenge is, where are we? Where's our focus? It's hard. And I've put a lot on you, and I'm saying, yeah, now you've got to go. You know, I speak to guys and I say, I've got families, and I've got to get home, and I've got to do this, and I've got to, it's hard. We are pressured. I can't say, sometimes I get home, 6:45 at night, sit down with my kids. It's a Wednesday night, I've got to go to G's Marketing. My wife says to me, you know, do you have to go tonight? I say, yeah, I've got to go tonight. And it's hard. My kid says to me, I'm going to miss you, Daddy. It's hard. It's hard. It's not easy. It's difficult. And as Paul preached last week, when you take up what God has got for you, it's not going to be, oh, sweet sailing. You're going to hit those issues, but God is going to help you. But on Wednesday night, I was sharing with Martin, and everyone had gone home, and I sat around. There was a bunch of Bulgarian guys, and I left at 11 o'clock at night. We just engaged in things about life and peace and happiness. How does one get happiness? How does one get peace? Just in a situation where people were so open to hear. People are hungry for the word. But like that training room, people are afraid. Because we so judge, you know, we judge people by the way they look. We judge people by the way they speak. And if they don't fit into our category, we surely don't let our kids play with them. And this is the barriers that stand in front of us. And this is where we're going to be challenged into the future. Let's pray together. Lord God, I just want to thank you for this body that you've called here, Lord. I thank you for High Street Church. I thank you for the leadership here, Lord. I thank you for everyone that's here this morning, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would have your way, God. You know that the heart of this church is that they would see the Great Commission coming to fulfillment, Lord. People coming and being drawn to you, God. Seeing and having transformed lives through you, Jesus. Father, I want to bring before you, as every single person here that's born again and saved and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've given us this commission. And I pray that we will not lose focus on what you are doing, Lord. And I pray that you will empower us, that you'll speak to us in ways that we can engage in the community, engage with our neighbors, engage with the people at work. Lord, I pray that you would you'd have your way. Come, Holy Spirit, and just use our lives, God. We pray. In Jesus' name, amen.